Right, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This past week, for spring break, our family had the opportunity to go on a Disney cruise. We loved it. Chance to get away and enjoyed the food. My suit coat is fitting a little tight this morning. I did what the scripture said, and I buffeted my body, all right, all week long. That's horrible, I know. Threw it in there. The entertainment was great. One of my favorite parts of the trip. This was especially true when my girls were little. I loved just watching their excitement as they got to meet some of their favorite Disney characters for the first time. I mean, if you've ever been a part of this, been to Disney, been on something like that, you know how this is. I mean, just think about it. Put yourself in the mindset of a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. Characters that you have only seen on TV are there in real life. And you get to meet them, and they talk to you and take pictures with you. I mean, it is enjoyment overload for kids. Now, on the boat, there's an app that you download. And the app will give you the times and the locations of where you meet these characters. And so you'll see these huge long lines forming and these parents who, for the most part, are doing their best to wait patiently so their kids can get a snapshot with their favorite character. And it's just awesome, especially, you know, me having 4 little girls. I love seeing these little girls in their Disney dresses, getting to meet their favorite princess. I mean, just the excitement is awesome. And it's fun for adults too. I mean, you get to meet, you know, some of your heroes. Like, I'll show you this picture on the screen. I got to meet this guy right here, Hook Hand, from Tangled. And that was a lot of fun. We had a nice little conversation at dinner. It was a moment for me. It was great. Seeing these long lines and meeting these famous characters, it sets up perfect the message where we are going today. Because I was thinking about, what do I preach this weekend? It's some standalone messages. I'm so grateful for Mark Lanier filling in for me last week. And I was able to watch the service online, just so worshipful and just an incredible morning. I was missing out physically, presently not here, but I was watching and worshiping with you online. But here we are. Next week is Palm Sunday, so we'll preach a traditional Palm Sunday message. And then the next week, of course, is Easter. We'll be preaching an Easter message. And so I just got to think, what do I preach 2 weeks out? And so I just started looking at the gospel story and said, what was Jesus doing 2 weeks out from Easter? What was he doing the week before Palm Sunday? And he was in Jericho. So I said, all right, let's go there. And what we see here in Luke chapter 19 is a man who wanted to see Jesus so bad, he finally got to meet Jesus, and not only meet him, but he got to have him over at his house and have dinner with him as well. It's an amazing story of an amazing meeting with Jesus. In fact, I'm calling the message today, Meeting Jesus. And in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, I want us to look at the story together. The Bible says this: he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, I've been preaching God's word for 25 plus years. And as I was looking through my files this week, I thought, surely I've preached on Zacchaeus before, but found nothing. I've never preached on this passage of scripture. I couldn't believe it. One of the most well-known passages in the Bible, and it's a powerful story of how one Meeting with Jesus can change a life forever. The Bible says in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was just passing through. Jericho is the last city on the stop to Jerusalem. It's about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. At the time of Jesus, it was a resort city. Scholars tell us the population was around 100,000 people. Herod had made kind of his winter residence there. There was a large theater. It was also known as the City of Roses because there were rose gardens there. The word Jericho, it actually means fragrant. Because this was a place that was known for just a pleasing aroma that filled its air. You know the city of Jericho because if you know your Bibles, the very first city that the people of Israel conquered when they came into the promised land was Jericho, right? Joshua fought the battle around Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. This is a significant city in the Bible. And as it relates to this story, the Bible tells us that Jesus was just passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He was nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And I want to remind you, this is the climax of Jesus's ministry. I mean, in a couple of weeks, he'll be nailed to a cross and ultimately will be raised from the dead. These are the last few weeks of his life. And so he's passing through Jericho, and no doubt people have heard of Jesus's ministry. He had a healing ministry going on. Wherever he went, he would heal people. And so word has gotten around about who Jesus was. His teaching ministry, the Bible says that Jesus taught as one who had authority, not like the religious scribes of the day. And so people wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. His most recent miracle was raising Lazarus from the dead. And while they didn't have internet or newspapers in that day, you better believe somebody gets raised from the dead, word travels, word gets around. And so Jesus, as he comes through Jericho, it makes perfect sense that the Bible says there was this great crowd that had gathered around, and it was preventing this man named Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. The crowds are big, and yet he is small. Look at verse 2 and 3. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Now, we are given in these two verses four important details about this man, Zacchaeus. First, we're told that he was a chief tax collector, which means he was a hated man. His job was one that created a lot of division and hatred toward him. He was despised. As you are probably aware, tax collectors in that day were considered the worst of the worst. They were considered sellouts. They were considered traitors. They worked for the Roman government, and yet their job was to collect taxes from their own people, the Jewish people. And so what they would do is they would add to the tax rate, if you will. And so they would just skim off the top, these tax collectors, whatever they wanted, and they would give to Rome what Rome expected, and everyone knew exactly what they were doing. This is why I said they were hated, because they were getting theirs, and everybody in town knew it. And what we see here is that Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. So he oversaw tax collectors in this region. And Jericho, because of its size, a relatively large city in that day, and because of its location, it was on a major trade route, there were a lot of tax collectors. And so this man, Zacchaeus, was over them all. So he was skimming off the top of those who were skimming off the top. In other words, he had wealth, he had resources, he was not hurting at all. What he doesn't have, at least I don't think he has, is true friends. People, he's got people he can hang out with, mainly other tax collectors. But other than that, no one's gonna give this man the time and day. And I don't think he has a real sense of purpose either. I say this because a third description we're given of Zacchaeus is that he was seeking to see, verse 3, the first part, seeking to see who Jesus was. Makes me ask this question, why would Zacchaeus care about seeing Jesus? Now, he could have been like many in the crowd that day, just wanting to catch a glimpse of this miracle-working rabbi, wanted to treat Jesus like he was some sideshow in a circus, just get a glimpse of him. But in looking at Zacchaeus' story, I think there's more to it than this. Again, this is just my interpretation. This is just my reading in between the lines. But I think Zacchaeus, because of his profession, was extremely lonely. And just this idea of wanting to see Jesus, I think he had heard about Jesus' ministry, knew Jesus was different, and maybe, just maybe, Zacchaeus was thinking, you know what? I hear that Jesus allowed a tax collector to follow him, one of his disciples, Matthew. Maybe that's what piqued Zacchaeus' curiosity to see Jesus. Or perhaps he had heard that Jesus took a special interest in tax collectors and sinners. We're told in two different occasions, Mark chapter 2, Luke chapter 15, that Jesus would have dinner with tax collectors and sinners. And maybe Zacchaeus thought, you know what, I'm a tax collector, maybe he'll have dinner with me. Could be wishful thinking, but maybe he thought that way. Or perhaps he just discovered, like so many throughout time have discovered, you can have everything. Wealth, resources, you can have it all and still have a guilty conscience. Still pillow your head at night and not have peace of mind and peace of heart. I think Zacchaeus was on a search for something. Something more than maybe he could even put his hand on. And the only reason I say this is because what would make him work so hard to see Jesus? Not only is this crowd preventing him because he's small, he's short, verse 3 tells us, he's small in stature. But he does something here that no man with wealth in the days of the Bible would have done. The Bible says he runs. Wealthy people in the days of, they didn't run. I mean, they're like wealthy people today. They play it cool. You know, they got everything. They don't run to anything. Things run to them. But yet Zacchaeus, he was running up ahead, the Bible says, in order to get a glimpse of Jesus. Look at verse 4. So he ran on ahead, and then talk about undignified, climbs up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now when you go on our trips to Israel, when we take our trips to the Holy Land, depending upon which way the wind is blowing that day or that week, depends on whether or not you get to go to Jericho, because Jericho currently is under Palestinian-controlled territory. And so sometimes it's just, you know, better to keep going on up to Jerusalem. But we've been to Jericho, and you can see the ruins there of the oldest city in the world. It's amazing where you can see the ruins of where the walls came down. And in the middle of the city square in Jericho, you drive by it, you can get out, look at it, take pictures of it, is what they call Zacchaeus' sycamore tree. I brought a picture of it to show you what this tree looks like. It's right there in the city square. This tree is over 2,000 years old, and it's the traditional site of where this episode in Luke chapter 19 takes place. Now, I love this story, and if you grew up in church, this story and song probably, like me, captured you as a child. Here's this wee little man climbing up in this tree to see Jesus, and when Jesus sees him, you remember what he says? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And that's exactly what happens. Look at verse 5. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now the word must there is the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 3, verse 3. It means constrained. It means obligated. When he says, in order to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There is no other way. Something about seeing Zacchaeus turns the heart of Jesus. And he says, I'm constrained, Zacchaeus. I must go to your house today. That's amazing to me. Verse 1 says that Jesus was just passing through Jericho. He wasn't intending on staying. Whenever you pass through somewhere, that's what you're doing. You're passing through. You don't intend on staying. But by the time we get to verse 5, something's happened. And Jesus is prolonging his stay, at least for a little bit, so that he can spend time with this man named Zacchaeus. Now, just a couple of thoughts here before we go on. First, I want you to notice that Jesus sees Zacchaeus. That's important to note. Pastor Philip Ryken notes in his commentary on this passage, and I think it's worth mentioning here, that Zacchaeus didn't stop for Jesus. Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus worked his way up a tree, but Jesus didn't have to stop and address him. In the midst of this huge crowd of people, just think about this. Jesus saw Zacchaeus, stopped, and talked to him. Secondly, I want you to notice that Jesus knows Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. I wonder when the last time Zacchaeus had ever heard his name without an expletive attached to it. Again, he was hated, despised, spit on. And yet Jesus calls him by name. Think about the power of hearing your name called. Dale Carnegie in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says this, remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. We love hearing the sound of our own name. Remember when you were a little kid and the teacher's taking roll? Man, you're ready for him to call your name. Here, you wanted to hear your name. Well, here Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, and it represented the fact that Jesus knew him. In fact, as the God of the universe, Jesus knew Zacchaeus better than Zacchaeus knew Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his life, knew what he was doing, knew what he was involved in. Jesus knew the choices that he was making. He knew Zacchaeus' shortcomings, his failures, knew all about him, and yet that didn't stop Jesus from taking an interest in Zacchaeus and wanting to spend time with him. And that leads me to the third point of interest, and that is Jesus accepts Zacchaeus. He tells Zacchaeus, come on down, hurry up, I gotta stay at your house today. So we're taking time to notice what Jesus said, but notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, you cheat, come on down and let's have a talk. He didn't say, we're going to your house because I gotta talk to you about how you're defrauding the town around here. He didn't go right in and start telling him everything he was doing wrong. Instead, he calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come on, let's hang out. I want to spend some time with you, Zacchaeus. I just want to pause here and make a point of application that doesn't need to wait to the end of this message. You do know that whoever you are right now, wherever you're watching from online or in this room, you do know that what was true for Zacchaeus is true for you. Like in those notes that we just took, you can take out Zacchaeus' name and put your name there. Jesus sees you. In the midst of this crowd today, Jesus sees you personally. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what has you down. He knows what's concerning you. He sees you. He knows you. And he accepts you just as you are. And if you will listen with the ears of faith, you'll hear Jesus today call you by name. He knows you. Sees you. Accepts you as you are. There's an old song that we used to sing. I say old. It was in the 2000s when it was written by Tommy Walker. He knows my name. The lyric says, I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Jesus sees you, Jesus knows you, Jesus is interested in you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to change your life just like he did Zacchaeus, and he wants to do it today. I must stay at your house today. Don't let this slip by either. If you're here today, outside of a personal relationship with Christ, you're watching online and you don't know Jesus in a personal way, don't let this point slip by. You might feel like you have more baggage than anybody in the room. You might feel like you have more junk in your life. You're carrying more shame. You feel more hopeless than anybody in the room, anybody watching today. And I'm telling you this, if Jesus was physically present here today and could spend time with anyone, he'd stop and want to spend time with you. He'd want to hear what's going on in your life. He'd want to speak into your life. And you're saying, no way. And I'm telling you, absolutely. That's why this story's in the Bible. He sees you. He knows you. He cares about you. The question is, will you open up your home, i.e. your heart, and welcome him in? Zacchaeus didn't hesitate. When Jesus called his name, verse 6, he hurried, came down, and received Jesus joyfully. And guess what? The people in the crowd, they despised Zacchaeus for it, and they despised Jesus for it. Look at verse 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. The audacity of Jesus to spend time with a sinner. You do realize, I wrote this down in my notes, I want to get it right. You do realize that the only people who tend to get upset about a church or a person reaching someone who is far away from God are people who either don't think they need Jesus or forgot they were once far away from Jesus. Let that sit in. Only people that get upset about a church or a person reaching someone who is far away from Jesus is someone who has forgot how far they were away from God themselves or don't think they need Jesus in the first place. Champion Forest, we can't ever get this way. We've got to always remember verse 10, the mission of Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This was the mission of God, and now we share in this mission. The moment we begin to think that once we are saved, once Jesus calls us to himself, the moment we begin to think that once we trust in Jesus, the mission is complete, and now we just begin this personal journey of spiritual growth with God, we've missed it. Reaching the lost. Spending time with those who are far away from the Lord in order to introduce them to Jesus is the very reason we are here. If not, he would have saved us and taken us on out. But instead, he leaves us here because we're his ambassadors, we're his missionaries, we're his emissaries in sharing in this calling to reach the lost. And so I just ask you a question of application. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this moment. Are you, speaking to the Christians here, are you currently working and praying and laboring for those who are far away from God to come to know him? Proverbs 11:30 says, he who captures souls is wise. It's the mission of our life to be like Jesus. This is why he said in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We are his ambassadors. I'm so grateful for our students who went to Galveston to share Jesus, New York City, to England. 2 weeks ago, we had a group go to Durango, Mexico on mission, saw nearly 150 people trust Christ. Brian Jones, who's a member of our church, he works with a ministry that we support called For All Mankind Movement, or FAM. We support it. When I talk about giving, I hope you know that your giving is being multiplied, not just to reach people in our neighborhood that help out with our ministries here, but it goes across the nations. We give a portion of our proceeds to our missions ministry, and a portion of the missions ministry goes to FAM, For All Mankind Ministry. We have a province in Nepal where we are supporting indigenous church planters. Brian sent me the numbers this week. We've had 1,756 adults publicly baptized, 104 in January of this year, and we've planted 220 churches since this started, 11 in January of 2024, all in Nepal. You're a part of that, Champion Forest. You're giving. It's going so that the nations hear the gospel. It's got to be the priority of our life. God will bless our church with his presence if we will commit to keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is seeking after God in prayer and having a heart for the lost. I have a journal, a note card in my journal. And on one side of the note card is, I look at it nearly every day when I'm in my time alone with the Lord. And on one side of the card is my life mission and purpose. God gave this to me when I was 23 years old. Went on a 3-day journey with the Lord, went away with him. Said, God, what do you want me to do? I don't want to waste my life. What do you want me to do? God gave me three things to do. Just if you don't do anything, do these three things. Number one, follow hard after me. Number two, love and lead your family well. Number three, be a faithful pastor to a local church. You do those three things and you put them on my epitaph. I'll die a successful, faithful man. Those three things. On the back side of that card, though, have a bunch of different things written. And one of the things that God gave me years ago was just this whole idea of, God, I want you to write on my heart the name of Christ and the lost. Those who are far from you, God, write them on my heart. Every day when I wake up, I want your name and the glory of your name on my heart, and I want reaching people who are lost, who are far away from you, to be the priority of my life. If we ever put seeing those who are far away from Jesus, if we ever put that on the back burner of a church, as a church, if we ever make it a lesser priority, that's the first step to becoming a mausoleum. We exist for those who do not yet know Christ. And as long as there is one person within our zip code that doesn't know Jesus, our work is not done. We are to seek and to save the lost. I can take you to dead churches all over North America, all over Europe, that were once thriving churches and they are no more. Why? Because they ceased preaching the gospel and they stopped making the lost, seeking the lost, a priority. This can't be us. It's why when it comes to Easter in a couple of weeks, we highlight the resurrection of Jesus and reaching the lost. When you leave today, there's going to be signs that you can pick up, that you can put in your yard, that just point people to Champion Forest on Easter. You never know what just seeing a sign will do. You don't know somebody driving down your neighborhood street, somebody walking. You never know what's going on in their life. They're looking for hope, and they see something as simple as a sign that you can put in your yard. Might strike something in their heart that causes them to come and hear the gospel and never be the same. This is why we do door hangers, and you can own your street. We've got them out here today. You can take as many as you want and put them on your street corner. Put them on every house. Pray for your neighbors as you pass out your door hangers, or we have cards. You go out to eat and you can give a card if you leave a big tip, okay? If you don't leave a big tip, keep the card. Ain't helping us. Leave a big tip, keep the card, give them the card, invite them to Easter. You never know what an invitation will do. An invitation to someone who is lost, doesn't know Jesus. And they're gonna come and they're gonna hear the same message that we're preaching today, that Jesus sees them, that Jesus knows them, that Jesus accepts them as they are. But here's the good news about Jesus. He accepts us as we are, but he doesn't keep us that way. He loves us too much. Look at what the scripture says in verses 8 through 10. One meeting with Jesus changed him forever. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus' actions here represent what the biblical word is, repentance. See, verse 6, Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his home. In verse 8, he welcomes Jesus into his heart. How do we know this? The same way we know anyone welcomes Jesus into their heart, a changed life. Repentance. Repentance is a U-turn. That's what the word means. You were going one way and you turn and you start going the other way. You were following your own rules. You were being your own God, and God arrests your soul. And just like in Zacchaeus, he just shows up one day and says, let's hang out. And before you know it, your life has changed. How do we know it? What's the proof? Repentance. It's a change of mind. I'm not going to think that way about that anymore. It's a change of your will. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a change of your emotions. I'm not going to feel that way anymore. It's putting all of that under the lordship of Christ. It's a change of heart. It's a change of behavior. It's a change of attitude. And this is exactly what we see in Zacchaeus. He goes one direction. He was cheating people, stealing from people, defrauding people. And in one meeting with Jesus, total U-turn. Changed his life. Said, I'm giving half my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, fourfold. That's 300% interest. According to the Levitical law, all he needed was to, if you defrauded somebody, was pay back 20% interest. He said fourfold. And when he says, I resolve to do it, when he says, it's happening, the tense of the New Testament is, that decision is done. It's present tense. I am resolved. It's called repentance. You can tell me all day long you know Jesus, but proof is found in a repentant life, a life that has been changed. And in saving Zacchaeus, Jesus says, today, Zacchaeus has become a true child, verse 9, a true child of Abraham. It wasn't about race or ethnic status. How do you become a true child of Abraham? Abraham, it is said in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, that he believed, and it was credited to him righteousness. Abraham became a believer the same way that we become a believer. He looked ahead to the sacrifice of Jesus. We look behind the sacrifice of Jesus. Both, we believe by faith. That's when you become a true child of Abraham. There's so many elements to this story that I love. It's like an onion that you just keep peeling back layer after layer after layer. First, you have this setting in Jericho. We talked about that. The first city that the Israelites come into. Who leads the battle into Jericho? Joshua. What does his name mean? God saves. And what happens? He marches around the city and physical walls fall. Well, here in the New Testament, you have Jesus. What does his name mean? Joshua, God saves. And it's not physical walls that fall, it's spiritual walls that fall. There are some here today who you have spiritual walls built up, and if you'll just invite Jesus in, I'm telling you, those walls will fall. You've got a relationship that needs to be mended, an addiction that needs to be broken, a sin that needs to be covered. Spend some time with Jesus and just watch what happens. I love the parallel. Look at the parallel that Luke gives here. Look at verse 5. We read, look at the parallel. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. So he goes and stays at his house, and then look at what happens in verse 9. In one meeting with Jesus, today salvation has come to this house. You let Jesus come into your heart and life, and you will not be the same. It's what Jesus does. He changes lives. That's why on Good Friday, we'll baptize 50 plus people. And if you want to be baptized, I'm going to give an invitation today. You can come forward and sign up for our Good Friday baptism. And you get in the water with, again, 50 plus others at just this campus. And we're going to baptize you. And what are we saying when we baptize? That we're never the same. Jesus changes you forever. This is what happens when you have one meeting with Jesus. My buddy J.D. Lowry preached this message. He had some incredible insight. He said Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus, and just a couple of weeks later, Jesus would climb a different tree to save Zacchaeus. That's a good word right there. Salvation. This is what it's all about. He came to seek and to save the lost. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ in a personal way, listen to me, you are lost. You may not feel that way. I don't feel lost. But it's a spiritual reality. The word lost is the same word that is translated perishing in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish. That's the same exact word. Will not be lost, will not be ravaged, will not be destroyed. But instead will be saved and have eternal life. You know there's only one thing worse than being lost. You know what it is? Being lost and nobody looking for you. But the scripture says, if you're lost, you got a God who left the confines of heaven, wrapped himself in flesh, and he came to earth to seek and to save the lost. And he's still doing it today. That's why he brought you here. It's no accident that you're here today listening to this message. Jesus sees you. He knows you. He accepts you. And ultimately, he will save you if you'll be like Zacchaeus and welcome him into your home and heart. You remember those commercials back in the 90s? Those Gatorade commercials, be like Mike. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. You remember that? That was my heyday, all right? This talk about King James being the best, no way, all right? Michael Jordan, the man. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. Well, just as application today in closing, we need to be like Zacchaeus. How do we do that? Number one, get to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from getting to Jesus. Listen, if you're here today and you are outside a personal relationship with Christ, you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never been restored to a right relationship with your Creator, behavior modification is not the answer. Trying to do better is not the answer. What you have to do is get out of your own way. That's what Zacchaeus did. He had to humble himself. He ran, climbed up into a tree. He didn't let anybody prevent him from getting to Jesus, and neither can you. Often, the one person that's in the way of getting to Jesus is you. Your pride, your ego. You don't want to bow the knee to Jesus. You don't want to change your life. And I'm telling you, he's your only hope, both now and for eternity. And so give your life to Jesus if you're a Christian in the room. And man, you've been walking away from him. Listen, who left? God didn't. You're the one that strayed. And you need to get back to Jesus. Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Secondly, get to repenting. If you're a non-believer, this is where it starts. Repenting is a U-turn, and you make a one-time decision to repent and place your faith and trust in Christ. But that doesn't mean you've arrived. In fact, that means you just started. And so for the Christian and the Christians in the room, repenting is a life style decision. We do that every day. Martin Luther in his 95 Theses said when the master called us to repent in Matthew chapter 4, he called us to a lifetime of repentance. That means our heart is soft toward the things of the Lord. When we sin against him, we confess it and we make sure that our relationship is restored through repentance, through confession. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we confess our sins and we turn from our sins. And so we ought to get really good at repenting. Listen, if you're here today and you don't have a heart for those who are far away from God, meaning, do you have relationships in your life where you are actively praying for people who are far away, know them by name? Christian, if you don't have that, it's time to repent. If you don't have a heart for the lost, it's time to repent. We need to get to Jesus, and we need to get to repenting. I love this story of life change. One meeting with Jesus changed everything. And I promise you, one meeting with Jesus can change everything for you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.